on the road.
The Bob Cudmore Stories from the Mohawk Valley Book Tour stops at Club 60 today. 3:30 this afternoon, the club meets at St. Mary's Hospital on Guy Park Avenue. Hope to see you there. With copies of my book, Stories from the Mohawk Valley, The Painted Rocks, The Good Benedict Arnold, and more.
Coffee with Cudmore.
Light 104.7 and 1570 AM. WVTL.
Time once again for Stories from the Mohawk Valley. We're reading all the entries in my recent history essay contest, Stories from the Mohawk Valley. In just a few minutes, we'll hear a tale about the Revolutionary War, written by Joe Inglis of the town of Florida. But we begin with a story about school.
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule. American history and practical math. You study them hard, hoping to pass.
This entry from James Hammond of Hegeman, who writes a tale about a favorite teacher of his from some years ago, back in the 1950s. James Hammond's story about Grace Rutherford. My memories of radio include Mrs. Grace Rutherford, who taught at Wilbur Lynch High School back in the late 40s and early 50s. I graduated in 1952. Mrs. Rutherford taught a class in radio broadcasting and script writing, bit out of the ordinary from the usual shop or vocational arts classes offered then, and she was a different sort of teacher whose third floor office was a favorite hangout for students whenever they could duck out of study hall. Every Wednesday morning, we'd all squeeze into her car, travel to the radio studio to present a live radio drama as part of our weekly curriculum. Mrs. Rutherford's classes were a delight, always informal, always evoking extemporaneous, creative, and inventive thinking. She was unlike many teachers, as she had an ongoing and genuine interest in encouraging free thinking. It was Grace Rutherford who first introduced many of us, at her own expense, to some out-of-town theater, sometimes traveling to faraway Albany to be exposed to real theater. The radio course was an exciting experience for many of us, and I believe created a challenge for many of us to go forward, to experiment with our creative abilities. In those early days of radio, before pre-recorded cassette commercials, the announcer read each commercial break live from the typewritten pages of a three-ring notebook, and our dramatic sound effects for our homey productions were improvised, and many times off the mark. Many of us have favorite teachers, and it was Grace Rutherford who exposed many of us provincial kids to a whole new world beyond the airwaves of our valley and away from the confines of a little upstate mill town.
Up in the morning and out to school.
James Hammond and his story about one of his favorite teachers, Grace Rutherford. James Hammond lives in Hegeman. Our next entry in Stories from the Mohawk Valley has to do with the American Revolution. Story submitted by Joe Inglis of the town of Florida. He writes, the following story was something I learned about many years ago while doing a research paper for a history class at Siena College. Part of my research was done at the Amsterdam Free Library. I was doing a paper on the Revolutionary War, and in particular about the siege of Fort Stanwix. This harks back to the time when a good part of our region was called Tryon County. The British and their allied Iroquois had laid siege to Fort Stanwix, which the Patriots had renamed Fort Schuyler, I believe, and it didn't look good for the colonials. This was during the march of Barry Ledger, a British general, from the western part of the state as the British tried to divide the Americans, Remember that from school? This little digression from Joe's script. It was the three-pronged attack. St. Ledger coming from the west, General Burgoyne coming from the north, and General Howe was to come up from the south. Burgoyne was stopped at the Battle of Saratoga. Apparently, Howe never really got going out of New York. But what happened to Barry St. Ledger and his forces in their siege of Fort Stanwix or Fort Schuyler? Back to the copy. Joe English writes, "My research found that Benedict Arnold started up the valley from Albany with the intention of relieving the beleaguered fort, but he did not have that many Continental soldiers under his command. The interesting part of the story is that along his march close by our area, he came upon a fellow who was well known in the area. His name was Han Jost Schuyler. Arnold and the American forces impressed Schuyler with threats to his family. In fact, I believe they held some members of his family prisoner, and sent Schuyler off ahead of them to the area of Fort Stanwix with directions to tell the Indians that the Americans had as many troops as there are leaves on the trees." Now Joe Inglis writes, "Most folks, as I said, Schuyler was well known, and this was mainly due to his unusual personality. Most folks thought he was touched, to use a term of the time. To the Indians, he was in touch with the spirit world, and they respected that kind of thing. His warnings about the number of troops coming were heeded by the Iroquois. Many of them abandoned their British allies and left the siege. The British did not have enough troops to remain on their own, so they were forced to break off the siege. And Arnold, at least temporarily, became a hero in the region. This, of course, was before he tried to sell out West Point." One of the entries in my stories from the Mohawk Valley contest by Joe Inglis of the town of Florida, the story of Han Jost Schuyler in the Revolutionary War. Our stories from the Mohawk Valley tomorrow will be done by Bob Johnson of the town of Amsterdam, lives on Truax Road, has an account of how a town resident was punished for not keeping the Sabbath 200 years ago. And we'll hear a tale that I've already put in print in my Focus on History column, Eric Landsberg of New York Mills, quoting an 1856 newspaper story saying gold was found in Amsterdam, 1856. The paper, though, says the report may be a hoax. And we've been putting the stories from the Mohawk Valley up on our website, WVTLFM.com.